Chapter 25. The Smog Deeps.
Jeckery!
Nagiri shouted in the sudden near darkness. Bars of acid yellow light strobed past outside as the exterior lumens of the hab blocks began to rise past them, faster and faster.
Acknowledged,
Seth Lenson said a second later, and set off across the deck towards the rear of the craft with the mechanical clanking of mag-enabled feet. Chetta, struggling up into a sitting position, took a moment to work out that he must be responding to Jekri's instructions over his combead. The reason for Lenson's clumsy magnetic running became clear a moment later, as the deck began to tilt away from her. The gun cutter was in an uncontrolled freefall, and down no longer had any particular relationship to the angle of the craft. Chetta clawed desperately at the deck as it yawed beneath her, and the other occupants of the hold began to slide with various yelps of alarm. She had neither their strength nor their durability. She'd be dead before they even hit the ground. Light suddenly flooded the hold, and the start of her fall was intercepted by the grav chair of Kenavario Zudine. The Zudine Novator had turned his chair's lumens on, and Chetta blinked as she grabbed desperately at his seat. He took hold of her wrists and heaved, grunting with the effort.
"Climb aboard,"
he puffed as the gun cutter rotated further around them. Chetta forced her legs to assist, and she ended up sprawled half across his lap. He floated backwards as a wall of storage lockers accelerated towards them, and his chair bobbed and wobbled as the sensors controlling its anti-grav motors attempted to adjust to the constantly shifting environment around them.
"How does this work when we hit the ground?"
Chetta asked him, above the panicked shouts of their companions. She could feel the thin bones of his skeletal thighs under her, and knew she must be causing him pain.
"I don't know,"
Zudine admitted. There was a resounding thump, and Chetta grunted in pain as the chair jolted and jarred her. One of her Tristar guards rebounded off the back, having struck it whilst tumbling.
"Come on, get us stable,"
Seth Lenson shouted from beyond the hatchway at the rear of the cargo bay.
"I don't know which way is up,"
Carmine replied desperately, trying to hold on to some crash webbing as the gun cutter rolled again.
"Just do it,"
Nagiri yelled at him. It seemed the Inquisitor had managed to activate mag clamps in her armor's boots as well, as she was now anchored to what was, at least nominally, the ceiling. Carmine let out a great groan of effort as he exerted his Psychana gift. The air temperature plummeted, and the gun cutter leveled out. There was a moment where, had it not been for the dark, dirty clouds rushing up past the portholes, Chetta might have thought that they were peacefully floating in the air. Then, the main lights crashed back on, and the drives roared into action, and gravity tore hungrily at the ship, as though angry at being denied its prize. Everyone slumped to the deck, flattened by the deceleration. Chetta gasped as her body tried to crush itself, and Kenavario bellowed as her weight crushed him. Hanging from the ceiling, Nagiri let out a moan of pain as her blood flooded to her head. And through the aft hatchway, there was an electronic-tinged scream of agony that lasted 1, 2, 3 seconds. The lights died again. There was another brief moment of weightlessness as the gun cutter fell the remaining few feet. And then it hit the ground with a tremendous and quite terminal-sounding crash. Its forward momentum carried the craft onwards for a short way with a grinding, tearing roar of metal on rock before it slewed to a final halt.
"Throne of Terror!"
Chetta groaned, rolling off Canavario's lap and onto her feet. Her right leg threatened to give out beneath her, and she grabbed at the arm of Zudine's chair to steady herself. She'd lost her cane somewhere in the preceding chaos. She raised her voice.
"Who still lives?"
There was a muddled, pained chorus of acknowledgements, many from one corner of the hold where a pile of carapace-armoured bodies had been gathered together by the ship's tumbles before Carmine had managed to flatten it out. The Saiga himself was collapsed in a sitting position, his arms still tangled in crash webbing and his chest heaving after the exertion of levelling the entire craft.
"What?"
The form of Zaretta Nagiri jerked suddenly, and Chetta belatedly became aware that the Inquisitor had been hanging limp, arms straight downwards. Kenavario turned his chair, with Chetta limping around after it, and the beams of his light picked Nagiri out. The Inquisitor blinked furiously.
"I must have passed out. Are we down?"
"Oh, we're down," Chetta told her dryly.
She looked around again and puffed her cheeks out. I'll say this for your team, Nagiri. They know how to cheat death. There was a clattering of footsteps from four, and Jek reappeared. The former Skitarius didn't pause, but simply ran straight through the hold, disappearing through the aft hatch. Chetta frowned, turning her head to follow them. Is there a problem? Beyond the obvious, I mean.
Seth!
Nagiri deactivated the mag clamps in her armor and fell from the ceiling, twisting in midair as she did so. She must have still been slightly woozy, or else the fall was not quite a great enough distance to maneuver as she'd intended, because instead of landing in a crouch, she ended up sprawled across the floor with a clatter of ceramite. She scrambled back to her feet, with an agility and ease that Chetta thoroughly envied, and ran after Jekri. A moment later, a furious beeping erupted from beyond the hatchway. Chetta didn't speak the strange language of the Adeptus Mechanicus, but she thought she could recognize the cadence of swear words when she heard them. The reason for Jekri's agitation became clear very quickly when Nagiri returned with Seth Lentzen's body over one armored shoulder. She set the engine sear down on the deck gently, but neither bionics nor flesh were moving under their own power. Chetta stared down at Lentzen's hands, where wisps of smoke were rising from the silvery whirl marks of Electus.
He told me he could get power back to the drives for a few seconds,
Jekri said, the voice from inside their hood sounding even hollower than before.
He didn't say he'd do it by rooting it through his own body.
They made a circular symbol over their breast, the sign of a cogwheel, unless Chetta missed her guess.
His spirit is with the Omnissiah now. He was a loyal servant for many years.
Nagiri made the sign of the Aquila over her own chest, her face stern and unyielding. Chetta bowed her head in respect. She might not have known Lentzen, and he might have played a key part in Nagiri's surveillance of Chetta's own damned home, but she could spare a few seconds of silence for someone who'd given his life to save hers, even if she probably hadn't been his primary concern. Everyone else was approaching now, in various states of injury. The Tristar guards and Davis of Rawl had been reasonably well protected from the battering they'd suffered by their carapace, although one of the Tristars, Anton's, Chetta thought, was having to be supported due to what looked like a broken leg, and another had a nasty gash on her cheek where something hard-edged had caught her in the gap between shoulder and helmet. Dachelle was looking rather worse for wear, which perhaps wasn't surprising if she'd been anywhere near all those armoured bodies crashing into each other, and was being held up by Fel with one arm over his broad shoulder. Chetta's aide, limping and holding her ribs, laid eyes on Seth Lentzen's gently smoking corpse in the beams of light coming from Kenafario Zudine's grav chair. Her eyes widened, her free hand flew from her ribs to her mouth, and she let out a strangled gasp of horror at the same time as Fel let rip with a foul guardsman's oath. Chetta might not have paid Dachelle's reaction much mind. They'd all just narrowly avoided death. She was clearly in pain, and unlike Chetta, wasn't used to that being in her general baseline of existence. And it was understandable that the sight might unsettle a person at the best of times. However, a moment after her reaction, Dachelle's eyes flew guiltily to meet Chetta's. The contact only lasted for a moment, but Chetta's mouth abruptly dried. She knew what it looked like when someone realized that they'd just betrayed themselves. She'd been the cause of it often enough. Dachelle Duvois had been there when Azariel Brabantis had been killed by Jax of House Goliath, pitfighter of Necromunda. Dachelle Duvois had seen Chetta's reaction in the immediate aftermath of that death. Dachelle Duvois had access to the encrypted security channels of House Brabantis. Dachelle Duvois had seen the dressing table of Eldari Wood in the Novator's private quarters on the Solarox. Dachelle Duvois could be the reason that Zaretta Nagiri knew an awful lot of things that Zaretta Nagiri knew. And it was curious, too, that the things Dachelle hadn't known about, such as Chetta's astropath call looking into the background of rogue trader Indrinian Vass, had been things that Nagiri hadn't known either. Dachelle? Chetta said crisply. Come here, girl. Dachelle hesitated. She didn't immediately remove her arm from around Fel's supporting shoulders and make her way to her mistress. She hesitated. And in her moment of indecision, her eyes flickered to Zaretta Nagiri. Rage rose within Chetta. The Tri-Stars had kept hold of their hell guns or had picked them up again after the gun cutter had come to rest. Guards!
Chetta, think very carefully about what you are about to say.
Nagiri interrupted her, taking three quick steps to place herself between Chetta and Ishell.
We are in a ship without power, in what is probably the most hostile part of this planet, and, unless I am much mistaken, we have just been shot down by a powerful rival of yours, who may yet be coming after us to finish the job. Let us not quarrel.
Tell me. Chetta ground out between her teeth, pointing past Nagiri. Tell me that the serving girl I hand-selected, that I poached from the court of Baron Zelenin on Artemis and groomed to be my personal aide, was not planted there with the express intention of her infiltrating House Brabantis. Nagiri's mouth tightened.
Tell me!
Chetta raged. She released the arm of Zudine's grav chair and took an unsteady step towards Nagiri, then prodded the taller woman in the breastplate of her armor.
Tell me the truth.
She didn't see Nagiri's hand move, but something struck her in the chest. She sat down hard and let out a cry as her hip flashed white-hot in its socket. There was a flicker of movement as the Tri-Star guards raised their hellguns. Fel's combi bolter appeared in his hand. Jekri produced an arcane-looking pistol from their robes, and the air temperature dropped again as Carmine lurched to his feet.
Enough!
Nagiri shouted. She reached for her belt and pulled out something that flashed as she opened it up. Her rosette of office. She turned slowly on the spot, displaying it to the Tri-Star guards, and the muzzles of their guns wavered as she did so.
I am an Inquisitor of the Ordo Xenos,
Nagiri declared forcefully,
and I speak with the authority of the Emperor himself. I will tolerate anger. I will tolerate emotion. I will not tolerate.
She finished her rotation to face Chetta again, and her lips twisted in distaste.
Foolishness.
Chetta glowered up at her, but Nagiri stood tall and powerful, like a war god of ancient Earth. She replaced her rosette on her belt and stared down at Chetta, her face an emotionless mask.
I pursue my duty how I see fit, Nagiri stated coldly. Do I play the long game for years at a time? Yes. Do my deceits run deep? Yes. When dealing with the traitor or the alien, you must always think one step ahead, else you will always be running to catch up. Did I plant Ishell in Zelenin's court with her specific goal being to attract your attention, find her way into House Brabantis and feed me information from the inside?
She squatted down, bringing her eyes somewhat closer to a level with Chetta's own.
Yes.
Chetta looked over at Ishell, or the girl she knew as Ishell, and spat on the deck.
I've been a fool. A fool? Nagiri repeated. Perhaps, in a specific way. But a traitor? No. And that is why I will overlook your display of temper, so long as you can accept that what Ishell did was not done out of malice towards you, but in service of the God Emperor. And instead focus your not inconsiderable intellect on helping us all get out of here alive.
Chetta felt hollow. The secrets Ishell knew. The secrets that Chetta had given her access to. She'd always kept some back, of course she had. She wasn't a complete fool, no matter what she said. But the things the girl had worked on with her, and for her, well, they were, at least, not necessarily things that would be of great interest to the Inquisition. All navigator houses had their secrets. But Brabantis were no renegades. Nagiri likely wouldn't care much about trade deals, shipping contracts or clandestine operations to blunt other houses' political capital. And Ishell didn't know about the vaults, or exactly what fate awaited navigators who lived long enough to need them.
At least do me the courtesy of telling me your true name,
she said coldly, fixing her former aide with her most ferocious stare. Nagiri looked over her shoulder and nodded.
My name is Alisana Nero.
The woman who'd played Ishell Duvois reached up and removed her black metal collar, dropping it onto the deck. Chetta frowned. Then, as suspicion dawned, opened her warp eye the tiniest fraction. Every human form in the hold had the faintest spark to her vision, where their minds brushed the warp with a feather-like touch through simply existing. All bar Seth Lentzen. Carmine was brighter, of course,
a white-hot furnace gradually cooling as he released his hold on his power, now the flashpoint had passed. And now? Alisana Nero was brighter as well. Not as bright as Carmine, but clearly no ordinary human.
You're a psyker,
Chetta breathed in disbelief.
But how did I never see this before? The collar?
A dampening device, Nagiri said, made with extracts of the same psi-shielding substance as the black ships, suitable for muting the gift of a low-level psyker to ensure she could pass unnoticed in a place where she could never know exactly what scrutiny might be brought to bear on her.
I hated it,
Nero commented, staring at the collar with some distaste.
It was like being half-blind all the time.
Can all navigators detect psykers? Nagiri asked Chetta, her tone one of genuine curiosity. Every warpi is unique in terms of the gifts it imparts, Chetta replied. She tapped her forehead. I was past 30 years before I found I could do this. I thought I was going mad at first.
I hate to break into this discussion, Fel said, but can we please focus on what the boss said about getting out of here alive? And don't forget, we've got Heretic to stop.
He turned his head to address Jekri.
Don't suppose the comms are working on this thing?
Short answer.
No, we've got no power.
Jekri replied.
Has anyone tried voxing?
It won't work, Chetta grunted, looking around for her cane. The smogs are so thick they disrupt vox traffic. The ship's transmitters might have got through. Your combeads will be useless over a couple of yards.
This leaves us with a choice, Nagiri said. We stay and wait for rescue, or we head out to try to improve our position ourselves.
She grimaced.
The second option is more in my nature, but I do not know if it's the wisest course of action. With the ships come out, the only way someone will find us, if we stay here, is by sight.
Jekri commented, gesturing pointedly towards the window.
It is still several hours till dawn, and that is without the smog taken into consideration.
They shrugged.
I do not have the gift for numbers that Engine Seer Lenson possessed, but I would suggest that the chances are marginal.
My house will have been monitoring our flight, Chetta argued. They should have at least a vague idea of where we came down based on our last position.
An ugly thought occurred to her.
The question is, whether anyone will come. With the Dakar offensive.
And who will take charge?
The head of security is dead. I was the last of the ruling family branch. My husband's most prominent kin may already be angling to step into my shoes, in which case they will have no wish to see me rescued.
Perhaps a compromise,
Cannavario Zudine spoke up.
My chair's power cell is not limitless and is drained more quickly by motion, and were it to fail in the course of a venture away from here, then I should be left exposed, else become a burden for someone to carry. I shall stay. Decide upon a direction and a destination, and should I be discovered by rescuers, then I shall direct them to you. Should you find assistance first, I would expect you to extend me the same courtesy.
Any search party may not be rescuers, Chetta reminded him. And don't forget the danger posed by the local scavengers.
In which case, I shall not direct them to you,
Zudine said firmly.
The corner of his mouth twitched, in a tired, pained ghost of a smile. And again, I would ask you to extend the same courtesy.
Staying here is likely to be a death sentence if you're alone, Chetta said grimly. The thought of Cannavario, helpless in his chair when the smog spiders or the mutants came calling, made her shudder. The man had been a part of a grand deception played on her, but he'd done it in the service of the Emperor, and he didn't deserve such a fate. Chetta looked at her Tristar guards.
I want 2 volunteers to stay behind with Lord Zudine.
Antons, with his broken leg, and Sika, who'd cut her cheek, volunteered to remain. That left Rose, Grangar, Villa, and Hicket from Chetta's honor guard, who all donned respirators. Chetta selected one from the guncutter's lockers as well, as did all of Nagiri's crew, with the exception of Jekri, who maintained that they would be fine without.
You're very well equipped,
Chetta commented, as she settled the mask into place over her face. It wasn't a pleasant sensation, but it would undoubtedly be better than attempting to breathe the polluted soup outside.
Simple practicalities, Nagiri replied.
She'd completed her armor by donning her helmet, with a quick and well-practiced flick of her hair, to get it clear of the neck seal, and now spoke from behind red-lit eye lenses. on which would undoubtedly be superimposed telemetry from sensors such as rangefinders and heat sensors.
There could be a catastrophic coolant gas leak in any part of the ship, for example. You need hazard gear readily available in all locations. Happily, that means we have spares.
The Inquisitor looked around.
Comcheck?
They'd all synchronized their personal combeats and sounded off one at a time. Then, with Fel leading the way, they began to negotiate their way out of the dead craft. The ship's hatches had to be operated manually to prevent the choking atmosphere from leaking into the hold where Cannavario, Antons, and Seeker were to remain. A task mainly completed by Fel's bionic arm with nudges from Carmine's powers. Then once the final hatch had been opened, Chetta found herself faced with what remained of the rear of the ship. Whatever the Jocin craft had fired at them had been effective. It had torn a huge rent in the rear fuselage, ripping right through into what must have been the galley. Chetta picked her way carefully over the warped metal beneath her feet, then out through the mangled hull, and finally onto the barren ground of stones and dirt beyond. She activated the luminator in her left hand, which did little more than turn a cone of smog from a big dark blur to a big light blur.
I'll say this for the Volesians.
The shape that was Nagiri commented, her visor turning this way and that.
When they set about polluting a place, by the Emperor they do a good job of it. I can barely make out a thing.
We were flying through the city, someone said.
Carmine, Chetta thought, although with his voice coming directly into her ear and everyone little more than shadows in the gloom and their mouths covered by respirators, it was virtually impossible to say for sure.
Surely we must be surrounded by hablocks.
We will be, Chetta confirmed, but the distances involved are deceptive. They're built further apart than you think. This was all meant to be a pleasant parkland once, but someone didn't realise that if you build a city in a valley, the smog has nowhere to go. She looked around, but nothing met her eyes except creamy green murk. Finding a hablock at least means we'll have somewhere we can start climbing out of this mess, but we'll likely encounter people too. And down here, I don't fancy our chances for them to be friendly.
You're saying we may as well pick a direction at random?
Nagiri asked. Chetta shrugged, despite the fact that no one would see it. Had I been paying attention to exactly where we were when we started to lose altitude, I may have been able to hazard a better guess as to our location. As it is, the best I can do is that we're somewhere between the Brabantis and Dakar palaces, which means my home is somewhere to the southeast of here.
That sounds like a good an idea as any,
someone said. Chetta recognised Fel's gravelly tones.
So, does anyone know which way southeast is?
The Auspex is blank,
Jekri said, when no one else spoke.
Fine. We do this the hard way, Chetta muttered. Fel, I want you 3 paces in front of me and to my left, because there's no way I'm having that flamer pointing anywhere near my back. Hicket, you 3 paces in front of me to my right.
What are you doing? Nagiri demanded.
Navigating, Chetta told her bluntly. I found my way home flying blind through warp storms before. If a bit of dirty fog is enough to throw me off, then I may as well end it all here and now.
There was a moment of silence.
Fine, Nagiri said.
Fel, do as she says. You're on point with Hicket. Rose and Granger, your rear guard. Villa and Carmine, left flank. Jekri and I will take the right. Nero, you stay in the middle with Chetta and warn us if you sense anything.
Yes, my lady,
Nero said, and her form, somewhat slighter than the others, shuffled closer. Chetta didn't think she was imagining the reluctance in her former aide's body language.
Sense anything?
She asked, disabling her combead for a moment as Nero came within proper earshot, even of words spoken into a respirator mask.
I have mild precognitive abilities,
Nero replied primly,
and sporadic divination talents.
A shame you never used them for me,
Chetta bit out.
Oh, I did,
Nero hissed back.
Just not when you could see. I was told to be the best damned aid for you that I could be, and I was.
Ready?
Nagiri announced, cutting off Chetta's reply.
Let's move out.
Her glowing red eye lenses seemed to focus on the pair of them.
And everyone keep your combeads active, please. We don't want to get separated out here.
They began to trudge across the ground. It was hard going, Chetta was prepared to admit. She hadn't been having a good day anyway, and it had been compounded by being on her feet for longer than usual, and surviving a shuttle crash was never going to help matters.
Although, she conceded to herself, it was better than not surviving a shuttle crash. In short, what it all added up to was that she was getting near the end of her strength, and even her usual bloody-minded stubbornness wasn't going to be able to carry her much further. For a moment, she thought wistfully of the guncutter's hold and staying behind with Cannavario. But idly awaiting rescue would have driven her to distraction in short order. Half her body might be in agony out here, but that was at least something she could set herself against.
"Do you require any assistance?"
Nero muttered. She hadn't turned her combi back to broadcasting, in apparent defiance of the Inquisitor's instructions. "Your ribs didn't appear to be in great shape," Chetta said shortly, wincing as another twinge shot up her right side. "I have my cane. You look to your own affair." The spitting snarl of a hellgun tore through the air. Chetta spun. Her body objected. She started to fall, and then Alisana Nero was there, catching her and grunting in pain herself at the effort of supporting Chetta's bulk. "Report!" Nagiri was snapping. "It came from behind me," Rose replied immediately.
"And me," Grangar added.
Chetta could just see her helmet twitching this way and that. A beam of ruby light stabbed out through the darkness, occluded but not smothered by the smog, and accompanied once more by the weapon's distinctive report. It was coming from the wreckage of the guncutter.